Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, we get into our political profiles today on our Straight Talk program. Michael Johnson, you know him as the county council chair. He's running for the state senate. We'll find out why he wants to do that. Then the back half of the program, Brandon Guffey joins us. He's one of the Republican candidates for your county council seat number 6. So we start off with Mr. Chairman. Should I call you Mr. Chairman?
It sounds good to me. It's a day.
All right. So let's pretend that nobody's ever heard of you before, which is possible. Tell them Cliff Notes style a little bit about Michael Johnson.
Sure. I am a former Fort Mill School Board member. I have served on the County Council for the past 8 years, and I am the chairman of the York County Council since 2019. I'm married. Wife Amy is a first grade elementary school teacher in public schools, and I have two children, a junior at Auburn University and my daughter, who will graduate Fort Mill High School next week, and hopefully go off to the University of South Carolina in the fall.
Good for you. How's your wife doing teaching at home?
I think she is ready for this to end, officially.
Well, speaking of end, why have you decided to do this, make this leap from the local level of the county council to run for state senate?
I think my wife thought I had fallen down and hit my head, but really the reasons are simple. I look around and I see the problems, and when you know, whether it's roads, whether it's education, a broken tax code, and we're just not doing enough to fix it. Fast-growing areas like Fort Mill, Indian Land, Lancaster, you can't afford not to have road money. You can't afford not to have an emphasis on your schools and infrastructure. These things just aren't happening. And it's not the fault of our former senator, Senator Gregory. I think it's just, you know, every so often he's decided to move on. So I think it's time for somebody to really go in and make an emphasis of those things.
Yeah, he served twice.
He has served twice.
He took a break and then decided, I'm going to get back into it. I just wonder, and it's very noble what you're talking about, and I got it. I mean, Fort Mill, we just saw the latest population numbers. They've doubled in population in 10 years. It's amazing.
It has.
Their school district is about to be the largest school district of the four here in York County. Who would have ever thought that?
That is insane when you think about it. Well, then think about this, too. Indian Land is now the fastest growing area in South Carolina, period.
Yeah, right.
So you have this entire area that desperately needs roads, desperately needs infrastructure. Because of the high growth, you have to build a new school every 2 to 3 years. And what happens when you do that? You get bonds. You get debt. What happens? Taxes go up. Who pays all of the debt or pays all the taxes to operate schools? Businesses. You can't bring in businesses. You can't bring in manufacturing. You can't bring in jobs. That is a problem that is it's unique to our area. This isn't happening in Williamsburg County. This isn't happening in Calhoun County. This is happening in Lancaster and York County. And we have to get a tax code that actually reflects that and rewards people for moving here.
I can't tell you the number of interviews that I have done across this table at Substation 2 where we have talked about tax reform. I love to remember the one that I did years ago with State Representative Tommy Pope, who's now the majority leader down in the House of Representatives. He was on a committee just to take a look at studying all the exemptions to the state tax code. You're smiling already. And they found there were just oodles and oodles and oodles of them, and they gave this wonderful report. And you know where that thing is? Just collecting dust. Nobody's done anything with it. So, Mr. Candidate, what do you think you can do to get people to get serious about this issue?
Well, I think Senator Leatherman may be using that report as a footstool somewhere because it certainly never moved out of the state Senate. I think, one, we have to actually get serious about these things. Think about this. The highest property taxes in the state in the United States are in South Carolina for commercial, industrial, and manufacturing.
Right.
You want to bring manufacturing, and I think we've all learned post-COVID, let's actually try to make a couple of things in America again. Let's not have to rely on other countries for everything we need. So if we want to do that, we actually have to create a tax system that encourages these people to come back. And instead, we've not done that. The next generation of workers in South Carolina are facing a totally different world. I think we have to make sure that we have a tax code that reflects that. If you make over $40,000 in North Carolina and Georgia, you pay less income taxes than a person in South Carolina. How is that so? How have we gotten that far back? You're right. We've been talking about this for 10, 20 years now. Act 388 blew up businesses. It's time to actually fix these things. And I think if we start focusing on getting senators who are from fast-growing areas, and these exist, York County, Lancaster County, Greenville County, Spartanburg, Charleston, and we start uniting around those issues. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat, doesn't matter if you're Republican. If you want to grow jobs and grow the economy, this is how we're going to have to do it. And we start making that focus. We also, quite honestly, we have to change the rules. Right now in the South Carolina Senate, one senator can say, I don't like that bill, this is done, and we're never going to talk about it again. And that literally is how it happens.
So how does a freshman senator go into that hallowed chamber down there and say, you know what, we need to change these rules? You know how much attention they're going to give you.
Well, I think you take your lunch pail and you go to work. And every so often, somebody's going to rap you on the hand and tell you, nope, you don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, and I'm sure somebody's going to look at me and call me son several times because I think some of our senators have been there 45, 50 years. But the bottom line is, if we don't start sending people there who have that message and who want to get it done, it's never going to get done. The same old doesn't work anymore. I think that's one of the things I've tried to do on the county council is I didn't want things just to stay the way they were. I wanted to change. I wanted to make sure we were looking ahead. It's time for South Carolina to start looking ahead 10, 15, 20 years and not 4 years when you can get reelected.
You know, it'll be interesting to see whether you can get people, let's use Charleston as an example. There, it was the strength of the coalition from Charleston that really did away with Act 3, I mean, made Act 388 happen. They were tired of those high property taxes, and kaboom, they blew up the whole system. I'm wondering all these years later whether anybody down there would publicly say, you know what Johnson is saying here is beginning to make some sense. I wonder if they really would have the political wherewithal to do that.
Well, you know, let's be honest. Act 388 is probably never going away. There are school districts in this state that actually get more funding because of Act 388. Only in Lancaster County schools, Fort Mill schools, we get less. But the bottom line is what you have to start doing is chipping away at bits and pieces of it. What we do realize is that we saddled our businesses and commercial and industry with some of the highest taxes in America because they're having to fund our schools. We have to change that. Charleston wants jobs just as much as I do. And instead of having to do a huge fee in lieu or a huge tax deal to get Boeing to come, let's actually create a tax system that works on day one, and then we can go compete with North Carolina and Georgia and Florida or Texas or anybody in the world for these jobs.
Yeah, and I don't think most people realize that in North Carolina, the tax rate's pretty well flat. No matter who you are, whether you're residential, commercial, or industrial.
That's right.
Down here,
your first house or your last house, it doesn't matter. It's all the same.
And down here, it's quite different.
Oh.
4, 6, 10.5. And if they didn't have a fee in lieu, we wouldn't have anything down here.
And think about it. Then we have incentives, super fees. So if you invest X amount, $150 million, you get it down to 4% tax rate. Why don't we just say, hey, let's invest in South Carolina. Let's create a tax code that's fair to everybody. And then we don't have to give it away every day.
I'll be very interested to follow your crusade on this because it will be like a crusade.
I will be they may nickname me Don Quixote before it's done. But I'm going to talk about reforming taxes, education, and fixing our roads and infrastructure every day.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the roads, which is a common denominator for everybody. We've increased the gas tax. Matter of fact, it's going to go up here again in another 30 days or so by another 2 pennies. I think this is either the third or fourth jump as we try to get up to a level that makes sense. What else can we do as far as fixing the roads. I mean, we're putting all this money in there, and the highway department seems to be doing more than it was doing.
Well, here is the real problem. So you're increasing taxes, but revenue's not going up. When Lancaster County and York County send $1 of gas tax to Columbia, 54 cents comes back.
Yeah.
54 cents. Now, if you happen to live in Saluda, you get $5.83. Imagine that. Fastest growing area in South Carolina, one of the leaders in economic in South Carolina, and we're not even getting 90 cents back. We're literally 54 cents on the dollar. We've got to change the formula, and you can't rely on budget provisos. Right now, they say, oh, well, we've passed a special budget proviso, so we're making you whole. Well, that's not the way. You know what a budget proviso is? That's when we got lots of extra money. We were not going to have a lot of extra money right now. We're going to have some tough budgets. We've got to get a funding formula that actually pays us what we are due. Second, what we really got to do is get serious about fixing roads faster. In South Carolina, from the day you get funding to the day you drive on a road is 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
Who thinks that's a good idea? We've got to reform SCDOT. We've got to streamline this process. I'm not talking 1 year. Let's just get it down to something reasonable. 3.5, 4 years. You can't tell me that there aren't enough smart people in South Carolina to sit down and make SCDOT actually approve plans faster. If we need more engineers at SCDOT, let's hire more engineers. What we don't need to do, though, is give raises to the top brass at SCDOT while we watch our roads fall apart.
All right, last common denominator that you've talked about that you want to work on is education. Now, you talk about a topic we've talked about for my 35 years across this table. It's education. And we have areas like York County that seem to do very, very well, particularly the Fort Mill School District. But then we have these awful areas in South Carolina that don't have any tax base, so they can't get the dollars in there to build buildings and attract teachers and pay salaries and what have you. So how do you solve that?
Well, the first step is we have to hold everybody more accountable. If teachers, we want to pay teachers more, I don't have a problem. We need to bring teachers up to the Southeastern average. But then we need to be accountable to that. We need to make sure that the product, children learning, is what happens. We need to make sure our schools are safe and secure. And I got to be honest, 7 standardized tests. On average in South Carolina, kids take 7 standardized tests a year. We're basically teaching kids how to take a test. We're not teaching you to think critically. We're not teaching you how to get a job. We're not teaching you for that next level of your life. We're teaching you how to fill in the dots on a standardized test. That's insane. We've got to change this. We've got to get back to it. We've also got to make sure that every school district is adequately funded. If you live in Williamsburg County, you deserve a good education. But we can't do that on the backs of people in Lancaster County or in Fort Mill or in York County. We have to have a system that works. We need to partner with businesses, private entities, bring them in. Let's have them help us. Think about it. We have a huge apprenticeship program in York County through York Tech and with various employers. That is a model that could be copied and taken statewide. And there are a lot of companies that need skilled workers. What they don't need is a kid who's unable to function in the real world because he had a bad education. Let's get involved early. Let's stay involved. This isn't going to fix itself in 4 years. And I think that's the problem with government, Manning. If you're running on a 4-year term, you need a fix in 4 years. I'm talking a 12, 15-year fix. Kids who aren't born yet, that we have to prepare and create a program that when they graduate high school, they're ready for the next step. You can't do that in 4 years. It's not going to get done. I'm not running for 4 years. I'm literally running to make sure that South Carolina has a plan for the next 15 to 20 years. I may not be in the Senate there, but we got to have a plan for it.
Well, you've got some ambitious goals. You certainly have laid out an interesting platform. You haven't shied away from some of the biggies. There's no question about that, so good luck to you. All right, we're going to give you about 30 seconds to pontificate to the listeners out there who might be within your district, which, of course, is district number 16, as to why they should vote for Michael Johnson.
I think what I've done over the past 8 years on the county council is I've shown consistency. I listen to my constituents. Once a month, I send out a newsletter, email newsletter, and I tell people what's happening. Once a month, I sit down with my constituents for breakfast, and I literally answer questions for an hour. If I'm elected, I'm going to have that same openness. Good ideas don't happen in Columbia. Good ideas start in Lancaster and in Indian Land and in Fort Mill. I've got to actually talk to you to hear that. I'm going to be accessible. I'm going to be transparent. You're going to know why I'm voting the way I am. And if I'm elected, I'm going to work every day for Lancaster County and York County.
All right. His name is Michael Johnson, and he's just one of the slew of names that's on the ballot. Come up on June the 9th, and we hope everybody will get behind this election. And remember, there is one to have. Okay. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate all that you've done. Thanks for being here today. And that's going to wrap up this portion of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. There's only one way to do it, and that's the Substation 2 way, which is slice, 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 garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 1230, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19 is the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we're here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus are remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, as we continue our political profiles for this Wednesday afternoon. Brandon Guffey is with us. He's one of the Republican candidates for York County Council seat number 6. And this is a brand new face, although I'm told that I met him years and years ago when he was, I don't know, horsing around the neighborhood with my son. How are you, Brandon?
Thank you for having me on, man.
Tell everybody a little bit about you, if you would.
Born and raised in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Of course, I've been met my wife. I'm a Northwestern graduate. She's a Rock Hill High graduate. Been married for 17 years. Have 3 sons, a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, a 2-year-old. Small business owner. Started 360 LLC back in 2009, which was landscaping. Ended up getting into heating and air in 2014 and opened up 360 Supply in 2016.
So you got your hands in a bunch of stuff.
I'm an entrepreneur.
That's it.
I can't sit still.
So you do landscaping and you do heating and air conditioning?
And landscape supply. So, but I've got good partners that kind of do the work for you now.
All right. So why is somebody who obviously has a sound mind decide they want to get into politics?
Well, I'm a big believer in praying about decisions before you do it. 6 years ago, I felt like I had a calling to get involved. I ignored it, and it ate at me ever since. So come this election, if you'll notice, I filed a week late. That was because I couldn't quite get the nerve up as well once again. Spoke to my wife, prayed about it once again, asked for a sign, and sure enough, within the following week or the day before I filed, I had a gentleman come in, just ask if there was anyone that would be willing to run to let him know, not mentioning that I would be interested. So I definitely took that as my sign. And Councilman Blackwell, I've voted for in the past, so I've supported a lot of the same ideas that he has.
Okay.
But I also think there can be some improvements, such as communication. So felt like it was the right time to go ahead and step up. And
all right, so anybody who's going to get in it, whatever the elected position is going to be, obviously is doing it for there may be two or three key things that they want to work
right
on. Tell me what for the top thing is that interests you, that you want to work on.
The number one thing is communication. Just as you just had Michael Johnson on here, he does a great job in his district with communication, with the monthly meetings. I've lived in District 6 for the past 10 years, and that is just simply not the case. So I wanted to improve the communication, make sure that we're listening to all constituents, not just certain members of certain parties or certain groups.
Now, you know, that's very interesting, because I often wonder how you go about doing that. Most of the public, you know, they just don't take the time to do anything to try to figure out what's going on in the world. Well, it always frustrates me, being in the work that I am, that you talk to people about, did you know this was going on? Did you know this was going on? I mean, I bet you I could line up 10 people right here and talk about the Carolina Panthers, and I'll bet you half of them wouldn't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, misinformation.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know how you can go about doing that and doing it effectively.
I think COVID-19 has taught us that. I mean, social media is a strong avenue to reach people and to actually have these conversations, along with in-person meetings, like Michael does with the once-a-month meetings, breakfast meetings, to invite constituents out. I believe Allison Love does the same thing in Lake Wylie. But you have to put yourself out there and be available. Doesn't mean everyone's going to come talk to you. But whenever someone does have an issue, they shouldn't have to go and look up on the county website to find out exactly how to get to you, email you, and then wait on a response.
All right. So communication is a big thing for you.
Yes, sir.
All right. What's number two?
Term limits. I'm a huge believer in term limits. I don't believe that you can expect things to change with keeping the same people in. And one of the reasons I supported Britt back in 2010 was he was a believer in term limits as well. And so I believe once you're in the office for 8 years, then it's time, you shouldn't be asking for any additional time. And I know with the change between the 2 and 4 year terms while he was there, that's the reason it pushed to 10 years.
So you think 8 years is two terms is enough?
I think once you've been in office for 8 years, you shouldn't ask for any additional time. Yeah, you can move on to another position.
It's going to take you, I would think, well, I'm sure, a year and a half to 2 years to really figure out what's going on. It's not an easy job. I don't care if it's the city level, the county level, or school board level. It's always, there's a learning curve.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think this would be the best time to get involved.
Okay.
So, I mean, you've got Allison's been there, what, 4 years maybe? Joel's been there, you know, he's newly elected.
He's brand new.
So you're going to have a seat open up in Fort Mill. So that's going to leave, essentially, Allison and Bump are going to be the two ones with the experience on county council.
All right, so we talked about communication. We talked about term limits. What about specific issues that the county is facing or your district?
The one thing, and I don't think this is necessarily my district in particular, but I certainly don't want to see our growth surpass our infrastructure. That's what we have seen in Lake Wylie. That's what we have seen in Fort Mill. Growth is great, but we have to make sure that we're being smart about it. We have the infrastructure in place ahead of time.
And Specifically, what are we talking about? Water lines, sewer lines?
Water, sewer, roads. Roads are the biggest thing because of congestion. As a small business owner, I want people in town, but it does me no good if everyone is backed up in front of my business and can't get in.
And I'm wondering what more you can do about roads. We always, you know, we've had four very successful Pennies for Progress programs. Some people, I think I was even one of them, suggested maybe it should be not pennies, but nickels or something for progress, because we have so much growth here that maybe we need to be thinking beyond.
We could also limit some of the residential growth, not allowing so many homes per acre, slowing that down a little bit until we ensure that we have everything in place. I mean, this Panther development is going to take 10 years, and it's going to change the entire landscape of Rock Hill, for sure. Not just Rock Hill, but all of York County.
So if you had been on the York County Council during this whole discussion and debate over the Carolina Panthers, how do you think you would have voted? Would you?
I would have voted 100% for it.
Okay, you'd have been.
I wish my opponent would have voted differently. Not necessarily, but I wish I could argue with him on it. But I think he made the right choice there, just as I think he made the right choice with the TIF for the city of Rock Hill.
Right.
But I believe it. People do not realize the amount of jobs, the amount of income that's going to come in from this deal. Me being in the landscape and construction industry, you know, we're going to see, you're going to see the skilled trade members. You're going to see the transportation industry. I'm a big proponent of using local contractors, so I'd love to see the county do a little bit more to swing that in favor of the people who actually pay taxes in York County to get some of these bids.
So if I'm listening to you correctly, and don't let me put words in your mouth, you're running for this because, number one, you have the itch to do it.
Yes,
number
sir.
Number one. And number two, primarily because you think the incumbent has served enough years. Is that basically what you're saying?
Term limits and communication. I would like for him to pass the baton, should I say.
You're not in any real disagreement on any positions or issues or what?
No, we're both conservative Christians. I think a lot of the votes, you know, as you run, you start looking and saying, oh, I would vote against him this way or I would vote against him that way. I just really couldn't find a lot of that.
Right.
I believe we share a lot of the same views and values.
So is there any one issue besides what we've just identified, infrastructure, term limits, communication, that you would want to work on if you are elected to this position?
Number one, like I said, was communication. But I definitely would like to address the C funds, the way that they divide those up. And I understand that, you know, the play is to divide them up evenly between the seven districts and then adding in with the economic development, which is essentially just Fort Mill.
Right.
But being in the transportation industry with my supply yard, I understand how the IFTA taxes work. And these roads that need to be repaired are the ones that are being driven on the most. You know, whenever you get out to a huge section of the western part of York County, you don't need $1.2 million for calcium chloride to keep dust down on dirt roads. So that money, I don't believe, should be divided completely evenly. I believe it should be divided up based on the transportation and the use of the roads.
Well, of course, you know, to do that, you're going to have to get four members of council to go along with that.
Yes.
What do you think the chances of that are?
I'm really not sure. Not being a politician, it's kind of difficult to know how that's going to play out. The only thing I can do is attack it the way I've attacked everything in life, and that's just roll up my sleeves and get to work and see what we can make happen.
Politics is a different game.
Yeah.
Much different than running your own business.
I'm learning that. But I think running my own business has kind of prepared me for it because, you know, whenever you start being an employer, me coming from sales and advertising previously to getting into running my own business, I had to learn how to manage people and how to get the best out of people.
Well, Brandon, thank you very much for being with us today on our Straight Talk program. Appreciate it. Good luck to you on your candidacy. June the 9th is when all the marbles are on the table for this particular seat. So good luck to you.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for being here. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Dr. Scott Oliver is here to tell us how it's done. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.